Coming up this week in the Triton Spotlight, we're at the pool chatting UC San Diego women's water polo with Sophia and Sydney Munitonis. The twins will tell us what it was like growing up with a built-in best friend. We'll get into how Splashball ultimately led them to Canyon View Aquatic Center. Which Munitonis sister is the better cook? And which one is locked in with the headphones on game day? You'll find out when we chat with the second-year Tritons this week. Plus, it's the return of our popular Quick Picks segment. All that and more comes your way in a moment in this week's Triton Spotlight. Welcome to episode 94 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for tuning in this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. A couple of Tritons earned Big West honors this week. Congrats to Haley Mulligan from softball, the Big West Field Player of the Week, and Anthony Flowers from track and field, the Big West Men's Track Athlete of the Week. You can read more about their accolades on UCSDTritons.com. While you're there, check out a feature on Captain Sophie Pearson from women's tennis. The nanoengineering major is working on lab prosthetics to help with recovery time from injuries. You can read that story online. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are India Caldwell from softball and Benjamin Rosengard from baseball. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with a pair of second-year Tritons, sisters Sydney and Sophia Munitonis from the water polo team. Sophia, who's older?
Sydney's older. Yeah, I'm older. 10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So, Sydney, does that mean you're the boss?
Not necessarily. I feel like, but whenever like we like regard, oh, it's like Sydney and Sophia. I feel like it's rarely Sophia and Sydney.
That's true. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, in terms of your upbringing, obviously, neither of you know anything besides being a twin. But Sydney, what was that like?
Yeah, it's honestly like a lot of people ask me like, how is it like being a twin? But honestly, I don't really know any different. I guess the way we describe it is like having a built-in best friend. Like we share everything. We've shared a room for like 18 years of our lives. Like it's, we mostly do everything together. Yeah, that's about it.
And Sophia, did that translate to the younger versions of you both playing sports? I mean, were you playing the same sports, that kind of thing?
Yeah, our parents always had us do things together, whether that was art lessons or piano. We did it together. And I think from a young age, like people called us like the twins. We were kind of like a set package.
Interesting. And so was there ever a want from either of you at any point to kind of go your own way, or were you comfortable with that?
I don't know. I think we were both pretty comfortable. Yeah. I think it was easier for our parents because we have two older siblings too. So it was always pretty busy in the house.
So is efficiency as much as anything.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So Sydney, how old were you when you started playing any kind of sports?
Water polo is actually our first sport that we ever played, and that we started that when we were 9 years old. We started splash ball. It's kind of like an introduction to water polo. You can touch the bottom of the pool. The size of the ball is really, really small. You basically just play games and get introduced to polo, like having to throw the ball or like even like shooting on a really small cage. We started that in like as a summer camp. And then ever since then, that's the only sport we've ever played. Like we never even been on a swim team before.
Yeah. First time swim team was high school, I think.
Yeah.
With our high school team.
And Sophia, did you both grow up in the water, or was even this playing this version of splash ball, was that new?
No, yeah, we were always in the water. My dad grew up swimming and playing water polo, and my brother as well. And so we were always in our grandma's like community pool. We were always playing in there. So it definitely wasn't new. We could definitely like swim laps. And when we got into water polo, I think we were comfortable. It was new as in like the rules, but we felt pretty comfortable in the water already.
And Sydney, was there an interest in trying other sports or not even so much? This is just what you knew.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I From our brother, like hearing stories of our brother playing water polo, I was very intimidated and I didn't really want to play water polo. It seemed very intense and manly, by the way, like from watching his games and the way he described, like sometimes like the teams like getting into fights, physical fights, and it really scared me when I was younger. And our older sister, she played volleyball and I was really interested in playing volleyball, but just never happened. It's never happened. We're really short. We're 5'1". So I don't think that was ever in the cards for us. But yeah, initially I didn't really want to play water polo.
How tall is your sister?
Our sister was
she was libero.
Yeah, she always played libero, but she's definitely taller than us. She's around 5'4".
Gotcha. Well, that's so interesting. So you're in the water and you talk about your brother Skylar, and we'll get into his time as a Triton in a little bit. But were you going to his games as kids?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like every weekend we were at some pool in all across California. We were always at his, starting from, I guess he was like 14. We were at his games. We were at his games while we were still in like strollers. And it was like our favorite thing. We loved watching him play.
I think overall we're just a really competitive family.
Yeah.
So I think being able to watch that game in that competitive environment, we all got really involved. Our family was always like the loudest. Sitting next
Yeah.
to our grandpa, oh my gosh, during the game, he was so loud.
And was he there when you were 9 year olds just getting in the water for the first time?
He was right there.
So how did you learn the rules and go from just splashing around in the water because it was something that, you were being told to do, to realizing that, hey, we might be good at this and want to get a little more serious about it?
It was actually really quick. We were in splash ball for, I think, like 1 or 2 months before there was a girl we actually knew who played on the boys' team at this club we were at. And they were like, we could start a girls' team if you want. And immediately we were like, yeah, let's do it. Like, we're ready. And so it was really quick. We kind of jumped into it pretty fast, but never went back. And like, yeah, it took us a while to get the rules. I remember our first game, like we were catching the ball with two hands. I was floating on the ball. I didn't really know what I was doing, but over time, I think with coaching and also watching our brother's game and hearing advice from our dad and our aunts who also played, I think all of that in combination really was a good starting point.
Was your father or maybe your brother, were they pseudo coaches for you, or did they just stand back and let you and your teammates do your thing?
I think my brother, he kind of stood back, but my dad was definitely involved. He assistant coached us for a while growing up, and he kind of ran our swimming and conditioning. But he played in college, so he has a lot of knowledge about the game that, and we respect him as a coach a lot.
Do you have photos from his day? I mean, I assume there probably wasn't much video.
There's a couple photos of him playing. He played at Harvard, and so there's a couple news clippings of him playing there.
It's funny, it looks a lot different. The path looks different. Like they're all, it's all indoor pools.
Probably a little harder to have outdoor pools in Massachusetts, though, huh?
Yeah, that
for
is
sure.
true.
So let's talk about just being a twin and growing up. How, when you were younger, would friends ever have a tough time telling you apart from one another?
Yeah, I always tell when people first meet us that I'm gonna give you like 3 to 4 months and like, trust me, you'll be able to tell. Like, it's our teammates now, like in the very beginning, yeah, they got really confused, including our coaches. And now I speak to them and they're, you're two completely different people. Your voices are different. You just look completely different. And so I tell them, like, just give it a little bit. Trust me, you'll know the difference.
I think also over time, like we've gone into a habit where we'll also respond for each other. So if someone says Sophia, we would both turn around.
I don't know. I think I just assumed that they might have
Made a mistake.
mistake. Yeah. We always give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and Sydney, was there ever a time, maybe as a rambunctious teenager or whatever, where one of you would sub in for the other on a date, a class assignment? I don't know anything.
We always get asked that question. And I think we like switched seats once in a class, but the big thing is it was a swim meet in high school and we switched events.
I think like our swim coach kind of mistook
Our like events.
yeah, like our events,
And we
and
just,
we said, why don't we just switch to our normal events?
like, no one would know except our close friends, and they wouldn't say. And it was like towards the end of the season where we told her, and she thought it was pretty funny.
Did you get away with it?
Yeah, we
Yeah.
did.
Amazing. Love that. We're chatting with Sydney and Sophia Munitonis on TritonCast this week. So your brother, Skylar, was a Triton. He played on the water polo team here. Were you frequently here on campus watching him play?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we're here almost every weekend during the
Fall. Yeah.
we don't live too far away. It's about
Hour and
an
a half.
hour and a half
Yeah.
drive. So it was always like a weekend excursion that we would go with our parents and our grandparents, and we would go watch his game.
If it was like a tournament, we would walk around campus in between games and hang out in Price Center or walk into Geisel. And we'd come back to Canyon View and watch his games.
That's pretty cool. And he obviously had a very standout career as a Triton. Were you proud of Big Brother, or was there any thought of getting out of his shadow when you were thinking of where you both wanted to go to school?
I was mainly in awe of Skylar and what he
Yeah.
did at UCSD. I have video, like I would take videos of him taking his 5 meter shots, and I would look back at them and like, wow, that's like so impressive. I don't know. I was just very impressed with what he did. Yeah,
Very proud. And I think we looked at other schools, but there was just such a tight community at UCSD. And like, I knew people were going to take care of us here. And that's what drew us to San Diego.
And Sophia, was it a package deal with the two of you, or might you have gone separate ways?
We had that conversation very brief that we didn't even tell our parents. This was just between Sid and I, but that did not, that thought didn't last very long.
I think like our parents always assumed, and also like another,
Logistically,
yeah, them like they would come to every single one of our games. And if we were to go to different schools, that would almost be impossible. So I think, yeah, we did it because we want to be together, but also it would have been way easier for our parents and grandparents to watch
back
our
to the
games.
efficiency.
Yeah.
But Cindy, what was that recruiting process like? I mean, when you were looking not only at UC San Diego, but wherever else you might have looked, was that known to the coaches recruiting you that, hey, it's, the two of us?
I never prefaced it saying like, oh, I also want to go to the same school as Sophia does. But
I feel like we never got a separate email.
yeah, we it was we always heard from the same exact coaches. And 'cause like they knew there were two of us. It was never like one of us is more desirable. It's they knew they recognized both of us on a pool deck. And so we would get emails from the same. It was never like, oh, you didn't hear from them? Well, I
Yeah.
heard from them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess maybe they thought the more the merrier.
Very well could be. Well, you talked about feeling at home here and being comfortable here in La Jolla, but Sydney, what was it ultimately that made you choose? And you don't have to speak for your sister, but at least for you, what made you choose to come to UC San Diego?
Yeah, I think the standout moment for me was our official trip to UCSD, so our recruit trip. I really appreciated how Brad and Nikki from the get-go, from the first meeting, was we want you. If you choose to come here, like we would be so happy. Like it just seemed like I wasn't proving to them, oh, you guys, like please take me. Like I would love to come here. They were the same. They're like, I really, really want you to come here. And on top of that, being able to spend those 3 days with the team was really what showed me, like, wow, I can really find a group of friends and like what I consider now family here at UCSD. I was so happy those 3 days. I think we called Brad and
The
Nikki
day
the day
after.
after we got back from our trip saying we would love to come here. And it was fully based on the coaching staff and the team. They were so inviting and welcoming.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So you didn't even make him sweat it out a little bit.
Nope.
That's really cool. Well, as twins, obviously you know each other pretty well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
where do you think that your sister, and Sophie, I'll start with you and then Sydney can answer as well. Where do you think Sid has improved the most since she's gotten to college in the water?
I think Sydney's confidence has went up a ton. And that's also thanks to our coaching staff and our teammates for really giving her that chance to really prove herself in the water. And even especially from freshman year to this year, I've just seen goals go up, steals go up. Her defense is looking so strong in the water right now. And I don't know, your confidence is it's really been coming up.
Thanks. I think Sophia was, since freshman year, had a big, big responsibility and had a lot of shoes to fill. And I think she really stepped up to that, stepped up to the plate. I don't know. I like, even she's like younger than me, I still look up to her and she's like a role model to me in like as a water polo athlete. So I'll always look up to her.
When you came to UC San Diego, and it would have happened as you join any new team, and Sid, I'll start with you on this one. How do you integrate yourself into a new team, right? Because there's already some level of chemistry between all the scholar athletes who are returning, and then you and your sister, and then of course all the newcomers as well, have to try to integrate yourselves into that culture. How do you form a bond? How do you make it fit?
But we're also like forced to bond because we're a team and you're kind of forced to having to work together. But it could be difficult if you're not meshing with your teammates, but they were so welcoming and inviting. It was the easiest transition that I ever could have hoped for. I think also we all have a common background of water polo. A lot of the team, I would recognize them from past clubs I played against. And it's just because water polo is such a small community, I was able to, connect with them through water polo. But obviously over time, like we were able to connect through other ways, like random hobbies and favorite movies or TV shows.
Yeah, that transition was really, really smooth. It was awesome that there felt like there was no separation between underclassmen and upperclassmen. I think from high school, there was like some sort of little hierarchy, I think, as any high schooler can say. But coming here, I mean, the upperclassmen were hanging out with us like we were equals, like we were just friends and just hanging out. And so that was super awesome.
And as second year Tritons, have you tried to help instill that with the new class this year?
Yeah, totally. We're always inviting them over and we're like, oh, let's just have dinner. Let's just watch a movie and hang out.
I always feel, I feel so lucky that we got that group of girls, that incoming class. They're like,
they're the best.
They're the best. I'm so grateful that we have that group of girls.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since you mentioned dinner, Sophia, who's the better cook?
I'm actually always cooking.
I'll say I'm too lazy. I cannot cook.
I'm usually the one that cooks for Sid and I.
What's on the menu?
We usually do like rice bowls, salmon. Yeah.
Okay. Which one of you two is funnier?
Oh gosh. Well, the team will say Sid, I think.
They make fun of, they find me the funniest because they can laugh at me, which is fine. I'm not offended by that.
Sophia, do you disagree?
No, I don't. I would say Sid's funnier.
She laughs at me the most.
So obviously you still have half of this season, give or take, and a couple more after that. But Sydney, what's next for you after college life? Any idea?
Yeah, I think what always makes me a little nervous is that I've been playing polo for over a decade, and having all of a sudden your last season completely stopping is not something I want to do at all. I want to continue water polo for as long as I can. Maybe hoping to be part of a master's program in the future. I'm majoring in public health with a concentration of medicine and sciences. So definitely something revolving around there. Yeah, not really. I don't have like a definite idea, but definitely. I'm not too sure about schooling after college, maybe trying to get straight into work.
Sophia, what about you?
Same thing. I'm a little different. I'm cognitive science. And so thinking maybe working in something in design once I graduate.
And again, to be clear, we're not trying to rush you out of here or anything by any of that stretch. Were you sports fans growing up?
Yeah, Sid and I are always watching sports, whether that's on ESPN Plus or just watching the NBA. We're big UCSD sports fans too. We love to watch, you know, our fellow athletes play.
I think we just always love that competitive environment, yeah. Whether that's, you know, some random NBA team that we like to watch, even like random collegiate basketball, women's basketball games that we enjoy watching. It all ranges. Even though if I don't understand the sport, I can appreciate their competitiveness. I always find it very entertaining.
When you were youngsters or before you got to college, were you cheering for the same teams or did you even have favorite teams?
I think like once Skylar got into UCSD, we were big UCSD fans. My grandpa, he went to UCLA. And so growing up, he was a big UCLA baseball and football fan and basketball. So we would sit with him and watch those games as well.
That's pretty cool. And what about musically? Sid, what gets you ready for a game? Do you have a playlist that you go to?
Oh, the people on my team always make jokes that I strictly listen to hip hop and rap. So I guess what I always listen to is like some trashy rap song that I don't really understand the words to, but it's always like that upbeat kind of music that really gets me focused. I'm not someone that really enjoys like talking and conversing before a game. I always have my headphones on. That's really a way for me to get really focused and kind of visualize the game.
So you're telling everybody, leave me alone.
I think they can tell by the way like, my face is and like the way I always have my headphones on. But yeah.
And I'm the opposite. I don't have my headphones in and I'm always talking.
Talking to anybody who will listen, or do you have a?
Yep.
How do you know, or do you know for either of you that, you know, I'm going to have a good game today? Like when in warmups, or is there a point where you know that you're going to have a great game?
Yeah. Warmups is big. I think when I feel smooth in the water, especially during warmup and I'm not feeling sluggish and my shots are looking really good, I have a feeling where I'm like, this is going to be good. And also the environment of the team too. Like if the attitude's up and we're all hyped up, I know it's going to be a good game.
I always really appreciate preparation before a game. I'm someone that really has to mentally prepare like days before we have a game. I think it's always a mindset going into the game, kind of like I'm going to do well, or I'm going to make these shots. I'm going to make these right passes. It's always telling myself that I'm going to do these things. So when it happens in the game, I'm not surprised. I know I'm going to be able to, you know, achieve and accomplish the things that I told myself days in advance.
And Sophia, was there an adjustment to collegiate water polo in terms of the quality of play when you got here last year? Was that an adjustment for you?
Oh yeah, totally. Collegiate women, they're just stronger and faster than I was ever used to in high school. And so that's just my physicality had an endurance just had to go way up. And that's stuff I do in the weight room and conditioning wise in the water. But I mean, people are smart. They're not just chucking balls at the cage like how sometimes happens in high school. They're really intelligent. And I think that's one thing my physicality and just my knowledge of the game just really had to improve.
I think playing as an 18-year-old going to college, having to play against 20 plus year olds, like I had to really not be intimidated. I think it's also showing that, like, proving that you're there for a reason and you can't be seen as not weak, but like you are
doubting yourself.
Yeah, you can't doubt yourself. You have to know that my ability to play water polo is the same as these older girls.
in the heat of a game with all of the noise from the fans and yelling from the bench and the splashing water and everything, and you're wearing a cap, by the way, can you hear instruction from the bench?
Yeah, what's crazy is that I never hear the cheering and the fans. And I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of locked into the game where I don't know how many people are in the stands. I don't know who's in the stands. And Brad has a really demanding voice. So that's something I do hear. And, you know, there's no way I'm not going to be listening to Brad. That's a bad thing to do. So I'm always hearing him. And obviously my teammates too. I think I could like recognize their voice too.
Yeah. You kind of like block out all the exterior noises and things that are going on. You're honestly only focused on yourself and the what's going on inside the water, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, did even that take practice coming into college and being in an environment where there might be more distractions?
I think we, a couple of our teams have made it through JOs, which is the Junior Olympic, which is like the big club tournament for water polo. And we've played like with a lot of fans. And so that wasn't something that was really new to us. But yeah, we've had some experience with crowds before.
That's awesome. And then as we get into Big West play for the second time, in your collegiate careers, what did you learn about going through the Big West last year that can help you both this year and beyond?
I think it's the Big West tournament is pretty gnarly. And I think it's just going through one game at a time. If you go into that first game, like wondering, oh, who are we going to match up with next?
You're not going to get that far.
You have to really focus on this one game. And once you're finished with that game, then you start looking at your next opponent. We just have to go one game at a time.
And even in conference play, each week is solely prepared on that one team, which I really appreciate. We watch game film on them. We, you know, we practice drills surrounding around what they would do on defense or offense, ways we can combat their different tactics. Yeah, 6-on-5 after goal plays, all that stuff. So we take these games. You only play that team once. So you really have to make the most of it in that one game.
Yeah, and it really matters for rankings. So yeah, those conference games are huge.
And Sydney, what's the difference in preparation? Or maybe there's not. When you're playing in a tournament, like when you're hosting the Triton Invite or this week when you go to the Aztec Invite coming up versus when you have just the one contest against, you know, CSUN or whatever Big West opponent it might be.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is time. Like in those tournaments, we play 4 games in 2 days. We don't have enough time to prepare for every single team and every single opponent we're going to play. So I think with the difference, the biggest difference is our prep time. With, for example, like when we played CSUN, we were able to prepare for a long time. And then for them and like their players and key aspects of their game and our game. And then for the tournament, it's an endurance, brutal grind yeah. that we have to get through. I think really focusing on our own play rather than who our opponents are, focusing on how we can improve as a team is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Especially those tournaments, those are really exhausting. I mean, playing 4 games in a matter of 2 days, it's tough. And by the end, that fourth game in a 4-game tournament, it's pretty brutal. But these one conference games, you are putting your whole heart and soul into this one game. And I think that's what just makes it that much more special.
And Sophia, when you're playing in one of those tournaments, sometimes you're playing at 8 a.m., sometimes it's, you know, noon or 1 p.m., sometimes it's in the evening. Do you have a preference or is there a difference in time of day in terms of when you play?
I guess not really. I would prefer not an 8 a.m. game because that means like a 6 a.m. wake up and 7 a.m. warm up. But I don't mind. I don't see like, oh, I play better at night or in the morning. I don't see too much of a difference. I also do appreciate a nice big gap between the first and second game. I always appreciate that too.
Personally, I like midday games, like especially during a tournament. I like sunny weather. Yeah. I like playing in like the sun. I don't know why that's always like made me feel energized and in a happy mood personally. Yeah. Night games are fun, but there's a lot of lead up to the game during the night. So I kind of like get in my head sometimes. So yeah, like a midday is like perfect for me.
And Sydney, what about when you're on the road and maybe you're sitting around a hotel waiting for that 6 p.m. game? What are you doing to pass the time?
Mm-hmm. Listen to music. I listen to a lot of music. Maybe like try to squeeze in a nap before, like a 30-minute nap. But focusing on the game and visualizing what I'm going to do, but also trying to balance not getting into my own head a lot. Trying to see like, telling myself the good things I'm going to do in the game and not necessarily saying, oh, like trying to like say like, oh, this opponent is, they're really fast and they're really aggressive and they're really dirty. Like not trying to keep that kind of negative talk in my head. That's something that I try to balance, but I usually combat that by either just listening to music or even just like having one-on-one time with my team.
Sophia, what about you? What are you doing all day when you're sitting around a hotel?
I guess I'll like review some game film just to help more with some preparation, maybe get in some highlights of myself in that game film just to hype me up a little bit.
Fair enough. We're chatting with Sophia and Sydney Munitonis this week on Triton Cast. You ready for some quick picks?
Yeah.
Good. You have to be. All right. So for ease of figuring this out on an audio platform, Sophia, we'll always have you start. But then again, Sydney, you can follow up and then you can certainly banter back and forth if appropriate. All right, Sophia, ocean or pool?
Ooh, ocean. Well, that's tricky.
Let's be quick.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ocean.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Outdoors.
Beach or mountains?
Beach, for sure.
Oh, beach. It's too easy. We grew up in Southern California. That's the only thing we know.
Well, I'm easing you in here. You'll sense that in a minute. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Sunset. I can't wake up that early.
Yeah.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Ooh, that one's tough. So I'm going to say crunchy.
Recently, I've been going creamy. I like texture.
Favorite food?
Oh my gosh. Ramen.
Curry.
Favorite topping on a pizza?
Pepperoni.
Oh, I'm just going to go classic cheese.
It's not a topping.
I would say so.
I think it counts.
Yeah, it counts.
It's like no topping.
You can have different cheeses.
Yeah, it's true.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs. We're allergic to cats, so
yeah.
Well, that's a good reason to say dogs. Singing or dancing?
Dancing.
Singing, even though I'm not good at it at all, but.
Shopping in-store or online?
Online.
Online. I cannot shop.
Yes, it gets too impatient.
I'm so impatient.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's a good one.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
Waffles.
Ooh, I'm going to go French toast.
Reading or writing?
Reading.
Reading. That's one of our favorite pastimes. I love reading.
What do you read?
I read a lot of things. Recently, I finished the Percy Jackson series. I read it a lot when I was younger, and I just wanted to go back to it.
That's really cool. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
I'm going to go cookie dough.
Cup or cone?
Cone.
Cup.
Gets too messy with a cone.
That's true.
get a cone, but ask for a cup. Yeah.
That's the move right there. Calls or texts?
Texts for sure.
Oh, texts. I cannot call. I cannot call.
Do you have a weird reaction when your phone actually rings? It's like something's wrong, right?
Yeah, it's always on silent. So I always end up missing the call anyway. So
podcasts or playlists?
Playlists, podcasts. Yeah, you do like podcasts.
Yeah.
Which one of your teammates is the funniest?
Okay, I'm not to say it's a tie between Cascade and Oli.
Oh my God, Oli makes, oh my God, she's the funniest person I've ever met. She makes me laugh every single time. Just looking at her, I just start laughing. I think Oli and Maddie combination.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which one of your teammates is the best cook?
Best cook.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah. Okay, our roommate, Allie, she is the best roommate ever. Best cook, best baker.
It's the best having her as a roommate.
She needs to become a private chef. She's so good.
Got to keep that one around.
Yeah.
Dreamer or realist?
Dreamer.
Dreamer.
If you could play one other sport for one day at UCSD, which sport would you pick?
Oh my gosh. Definitely not the swim team. No. I don't think I could do what they do.
We couldn't keep up.
Gosh, I don't know. I say volleyball.
I would say volleyball too. I would want to try libero just because our older sister did it.
Well, Sophia, Sydney, you survived. Congrats. And thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you.
What a fun conversation. Thanks to Sophia and Sydney for taking the time to join us. The Munitonis sisters and the Tritons will be back in action Friday at UC Irvine before competing in the Aztec invite at San Diego State this weekend. Well, be sure you're subscribed to TritonCast on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 94 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X @TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or you can email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.